Thank you. Be seated.
Court is ready to hear argument from petitioner in Reeder v. Daniel.
May it please the court, Mr. Butch Boyd will present argument for the petitioner. Petitioner has reserved 7 minutes for rebuttal.
May it please the court, we're before this court today because the Ninth Court of Appeals has gone where neither this court nor the Texas legislature has gone before and created social host liability in Texas. My name is Butch Boyd, and along with Jonathan Allen, I represent the petitioner in this case, Tyler Reeder. This case arises out of a party that Tyler Reeder had with his high school friends at his parents' home while they were out of town. It's important to note that the Reeder parents are not before this court. There is no social host liability in Texas. It's important to look at decisions by this court in reaching that conclusion. First,
well,
under the common law.
We've never reached a decision when the person served was under 18.
That's correct, Your
this
Honor.
This is an open question.
That is correct, Your Honor. But it's important when determining that there's no social host liability to look at previous decisions of this court.
But what the legislature has done is they made it unmistakably clear that it would be a criminal violation for somebody to provide or make available alcohol to someone who's a minor.
That is absolutely correct.
And so it's clear that the legislature has unequivocally established a policy against that kind of conduct.
That's absolutely correct, Justice
Allen.
And
it's also clear that in our prior decision, Smith versus Merritt, et cetera, we said we looked to what the policy was that was established by the legislature.
Correct.
And if we were to hold civil liability, which of course is a lesser standard than criminal liability, that would be consistent with the policy established by the legislature.
Correct, Your Honor. But in looking at the opinion that you authored in Smith versus Merritt, what the analysis was that there was, under negligence per se, as opposed to the common law, that there was no legislative intent to create social host liability in Texas, and ultimately reached the conclusion that that was limited to persons 18 years
well,
or older.
What we looked at in Smith versus Merritt was the clear, unequivocal language that that particular statute governed civil liability for providing alcohol to persons 18 years of age and older.
Correct.
And the legislature clearly picked out the age 18. And in that statute, the legislature didn't say anything at all about providing alcohol to people under the age of 18.
Correct. But it's important to go back and look at the history of Chapter 2. When the legislature was considering the enactment of Chapter 2, as the bill was originally written, the word host appeared in the definition of provider. So as it is currently enacted, Chapter 2 creates a civil scheme for commercial providers, licensees. And that's important because it does not.
But isn't there something that is almost nonsensical about that argument, that there's potential liability for providing alcohol to persons 18 years of age and older, but no potential liability for providing alcohol to persons under the age of 18? When that, of course, could be the cause for even more severe damages.
Your Honor, by way of clarification, are you talking about under Chapter
1? Under
Chapter 2 for commercial providers. Actually, Your Honor, I respectfully disagree. There is liability under Chapter 2 if a commercial provider sells alcohol to a person under 18. If I'm understanding your question correctly, and I think that's the point and where this court needs to go and focus, is the fact of the matter is Chapter 2 creates a civil scheme for commercial providers if they provide alcohol to a person of any age. It doesn't just say from 18 and above. What Chapter 2 does is it creates a heightened standard to the benefit of the commercial provider if the recipient of the alcohol is 18 years or older, and getting back to social host. Well, before going back to social host, if the recipient is under 17, the commercial provider under the commercial scheme in place enacted by the legislature, they would not get the benefit of that heightened standard. They would not have the benefit of the heightened standard that the legislature created for persons 18 and older. Now, in looking at the legislative history, why that is so important in this case is that the legislature, when it initially drafted the bill, the word host appeared in the definition of provider. Had that been left alone, and had that bill been passed, What we would have in the state of Texas is a social host liability scheme completely defined by the legislature that would be virtually identical to the scheme that's in place for commercial providers today.
Let me ask you this simple question. You agree that the legislature has established a clear policy against providing alcohol to minors?
Correct.
Why should we not follow up with that and say that there is a civil liability for providing alcohol to minors?
Justice Abbott, there's
when
several...
I say minors, I'm talking about under 18.
Sure. There's several reasons. First off, what this court did wisely in Smith was defer to the legislature, and under the facts of that case, determined that there would be no social host liability when the service was to a guest who was 18 or older. The analysis is the same if the guest is under 18. It does not change.
But it's not the same in that there is no requirement under 106.06, a limitation that serving alcohol to someone who is obviously intoxicated.
Correct.
There is a difference in the statutory scheme in terms of this being an absolute prohibition, and part of the balancing that went on with the commercial liability statute, as well as this court's decision not to extend it to social host, was the factor that it would have put it in a situation of making that an individual of making that ascertainment of whether someone was intoxicated. That is a distinction with this statute, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is.
And why isn't that critical to the analysis?
Well, Your Honor, first off, Chapter 106 does not distinguish on the age of the recipient, except to say that under 21, you're going to be liable under the criminal statute. And so what, in order to go with the respondent's argument in this case, there has to be a blending of Chapter 2 and Chapter 106. But there are numerous reasons why this court should continue to defer to the legislature to create social host liability.
And my point, though, is why aren't we deferring to the legislature? If we look at 106.06, and you would agree that minors and those that minors injure are among the protected class that would exist underneath that statute?
Correct.
If that's the case, then why aren't we deferring to the legislature when we look at the absolute prohibition by allowing negligence per se action to be brought under there?
Well, Your Honor, because this court then would have to fashion the duty to
the legislature has. It's right there. Don't do it.
Right, Your Honor, but what that would then do is create an inconsistent result between Smith versus Merritt in this case.
We don't really think it's inconsistent. We left it open.
Well, what Smith did was said that despite the fact that 106.06 makes it a crime to serve alcohol to anybody under 21, this court determined for purposes of civil liability that negligence per se would not exist to anyone over 18. And so here's where the inconsistency would come in. For example, if my client Tyler Reeder had a party, just as he did, and he serves to a person who's 17 years and 11 months old, such as Mr. Lawson, and he also serves, and this is assuming service, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, he also served an 18-year-old. They left independently and were in motor vehicle accidents, injuring separate people on the road. Under Smith v. Merritt, the 18-year-old, the injured people, would not have a cause of action against Tyler Reeder.
I'll concede to you that the facts of this case aren't the strongest for the plaintiff. But you keep trying to thread this through the needle of Smith v. Merritt and Graff v. Deere. And in both of those cases, you said something very important, which was that absent a special relationship between the social host and the adult guest, the host has neither superior knowledge with which to foresee harm nor a legal right to control the guest. The point being is that with regard to an adult, you can't control what that adult's going to do, whether or not they can drink, et cetera, et cetera. In this particular matter, that policy analysis doesn't apply because the issue is not whether or not you have the right to control a person under the age of 18, or the extent to which you have superior knowledge about whether or not they can handle drinking and driving. We have a clear black and white line in this particular instance where absolutely never, under any circumstances, are you to provide alcohol to somebody under the age of 18. You don't have to go through that weighing that we talked about in both Smith versus Merritt and Graff versus Beard. There's no weighing involved here. It's clear, unequivocal, no questions asked. You shall not provide alcohol to somebody under the age of 18. Why doesn't that distinguish this case from our prior precedents?
You've hit the nail on the head, Justice Abbott. It's a special relationship. And if you're going to look at common law social host liability, there was absolutely no special relationship between Tyler Reeder and his high school classmate in this case. that would give rise to a duty to control.
No, I'm saying no special relationship should be required when you're dealing with the situation of providing alcohol to a minor. Under no circumstances whatsoever, regardless of the relationship, shall you provide alcohol to a minor.
Well, Your Honor, first, assuming that there was provision, which is obviously not conceded, and it's a point that will be addressed in a minute, this court could fashion a bright-line rule at 18, but the problem goes back to the scenario that I just presented, that at that same party had a person who had just turned 18 been drinking, and Lawson and he take off in separate vehicles and kill people on our public streets. The injured parties with respect to the 18-year-old would have no cause of action against Tyler Reeder, but the injured parties for the 17-year-old 11 Mock would.
And it's for the legislature made that distinction. They picked 18, and that's they can do that.
Actually, Justice Enoch, under 106, which is what is being asked to apply here, they didn't. They said 21. And if you look back at the history, they didn't pick 18 with respect to this scenario. What they did, they were providing a safe harbor or a heightened standard to commercial providers under Chapter 2 that doesn't even apply to a social host. But it's important because had it applied, had they left the word host in the definition of provider, it would apply here. And the only difference would be that the persons in my scenario would both have causes of action back against the social host. But under one scenario, the host would have a protection. The obviously intoxicated to a dangerous degree standard would apply to one scenario, and it'd be a straight negligence under the common law cause of action under the other. And that is the danger of deciding this case and drawing a bright line at 18, is that you create that disparate result where a person who drinks who's not supposed to, it's the same criminal conduct under 106. It's no less a crime to provide beer to an 18-year-old under 106 than it is to provide it to a 17-year-old or a 16-year-old. It's the same crime under 106. There is no difference.
Let's move to the provision issue. The record in this case seems to indicate that Mr. Reeder, the younger, has been host to a number of parties at his house. And the practice has been that people bring their own alcohol to the party. I don't know who, the record doesn't demonstrate who brings the food. It just talks about the alcohol. But it also looks as if from the record that Mr. Reeder helps himself to the alcohol that others bring. And so it seems to me there's an implication that if I provide the place and you provide the alcohol, we'll have a party. Now, the statute talks about make available. Why isn't that? Why isn't Mr. Reeder making alcohol available to the minors at the party? Because his contribution is the house and someone else's contribution is the alcohol. Why is that not him making alcohol available?
Justice Haney, first let me address what is in the record, which was a question asked of Jeff Lawson in deposition, had there been other parties. There is nothing in the record about any arrangement or agreement that I'll provide the house, you provide the alcohol. What is in the record is that Jeff Lawson specifically stated in his deposition, I went and got my own beer. I had Taylor Chapman purchase my beer for me. To assume that Tyler Reeder
he also said that when he arrived there, there were several cases of beer already there.
Your Honor, actually, and the record speaks for itself, but my interpretation of the record was that they actually brought several cases and placed them in coolers.
But there's also, on page 14 of the record, a testimony that when he arrived, there were several cases of beer already there.
Your Honor, in response to that, there is absolutely nothing in the record that would indicate there's no evidence whatsoever that Tyler Reeder supplied any beer.
No, but the point is when he arrived, there was beer there.
Right, but and more importantly, the point is he brought his own beer. He had somebody else go buy it.
No, that's not my point. I'm assuming he brought his own beer. My question is, when somebody provides the place for the party and somebody else provides the beer and they're sharing of the beer when they get there, why is that not just each one sharing their own responsibility for a party? How does the host of the party avoid this making available by simply saying, whoops, it wasn't my money that bought the beer?
Well, Your Honor, that specific question was addressed in Kovar versus Krampus out of the Houston Court of Appeals. And what the Houston Court of Appeals noted is identical to this scenario. There was no evidence that the host provided the beer. Others brought the beer. And the conclusion of the court was that we're not going to find liability in those circumstances merely from hosting the party, but that does not equate to the furnishing of the alcohol. And giving furnish, I mean, it's just most common meaning. You would have to assume that that beer, from the time that Jeff Lawson secured that beer at the convenience store, it was unavailable to him while he rode over to Tyler Reeder's house. The beer was already available to him before he ever got to the house. Tyler didn't do anything that made that beer any more or any less available except provide a place where it could be consumed.
If I had a beach house and a margarita machine with no alcohol and invited a bunch of people over and said, party's at my place, let's get wasted, and other people bring the margaritas and put it in the margarita machine, have I made alcohol available?
No. What you've done is you've changed the consistency of it by freezing it, but in all seriousness, you haven't provided the alcohol. What you, again, have done is provided a site for a social event. And that should not give rise to providing alcohol. It takes some affirmative action by the host in actually making alcohol available. You can't just provide a location that has a refrigerator or a margarita machine, and if the alcohol is brought in, you'd have to assume the alcohol wasn't available before the guests ever arrived at the party.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
The court is ready to hear argument from respondent.
May it please the court, Mr. Nathan Reynolds, Jr. will present argument for the respondent.
May it please the court. My name is Nathan Reynolds. I'm representing Andrew Daniel. He was the injured person at the party hosted by Tyler Reeder. My client's position is that Tyler Reeder had a party, gave alcohol to Jeff Lawson, a 17-year-old, and as a result of that, a fight ensued, or the record's not really clear as to exactly what happened other than my client got hit. He suffered severe injuries. You know, we're just asserting that the provisions of the Alcoholic Beverage Code create a cause of action in, as a matter of law, negligence per se, unexcused
the
violation.
The problem here, of course, is that there seems to be a serious problem with you satisfying the requirement that the defendant made available alcohol, because he didn't provide it. He didn't buy it. At most, he provided a refrigerator.
Record shows that, now, Your Honor, this is a summary judgment proceeding.
Right.
And whether, my opinion is, whether the alcohol was provided or not should be a matter for a jury to decide based on the facts. The law says that you either make it available or put it in a place where it's accessible or may be obtained. That's make available. That's the dictionary definition. The statute doesn't define exactly what make available is. It's, I guess, left up to the discretion of the court, you know, considering the facts. This party went on for several hours. The beer was in the refrigerators and the coolers on the premises. Tyler Reeder knew about it. He certainly could have stopped it at any time by saying, hey, y'all get out of here, because the law says you can't have alcohol, you're under 18. There's a definite bright line prescription against furnishing alcohol legally to somebody under 21, and from the tort liability created, or I guess actually kind of carved out down to 18 in Smith v. Merritt, he could have said no more alcohol and took it away. But when the alcohol came into his house, it came under his care, custody, and control. He's in control of the house. It's his parents' house. The parents aren't there. So he is the person in charge. He could have shut the thing down at any time, and he didn't. And I believe that at least creates an issue, a fact issue, to have a trial on to see if Tyler made the alcohol available or accessible to this Jeff Lawson.
Well, it seems to me the facts really are not in dispute about this. The beer was purchased by Lawson, and it was put in the refrigerator, and Tyler Reeder drank some of that beer, so it was shared. But I don't know if there's a fact issue for the jury to decide. It's really up to the court to decide if that amounts to providing alcohol. If I understand Mr. Boyd's argument, if Lawson had been sued as the host, then that'd be all right because he bought the beer. But because Tyler didn't buy the beer but simply provide the place for the party, then I guess that would be, that's not providing the alcohol.
Well, my position is the record of the stand does not show as a matter of law that he didn't make it available. I believe there's enough evidence there to at least get to a jury. I think there's a fact question. It's not that there's no evidence that he didn't provide it or make it accessible.
Isn't there a more fundamental thing that we're being asked to do, and that's to find that there is a cause of action before we can get to the point you're making by your argument?
Yes, sir.
Why should we do that?
Because you shouldn't give alcohol to minors. The law says you can't.
It says it's illegal to. You said it's a criminal offense.
It's a criminal offense.
Does this require us to overrule Smith and Graff or any other case?
No, sir, it doesn't. I believe the cause of action has always been here. This has always been the law, that to provide alcohol to a minor under the age of 18 is negligence as a matter of law.
What do you make of the legislature's call not to include social host liability when it passed the Dram Shop Act?
Well, I believe it's just that. They chose not to put it in there. They chose not to address it. They chose for it to only apply to commercial providers.
And my question exactly, what do you make of that?
I make of that's not legislative intent, that they intended to negate social host liability. I think that's legislative intent, that they meant to prescribe conduct for commercial providers. They didn't address the social host issue at all.
Well, it was in an earlier version of the bill, and then it was excluded. So isn't that an indication that they did?
Well, it was
not to encompass social hosts?
But the version is passed. The legislature did not intend to address social host liability by statute. And there's already a statute that says you can't provide alcohol to persons under the age of 21. Maybe they felt that it was already taken care of. I mean, I certainly believe that. There's an absolute prohibition on providing alcohol to minors under the age of 21, or to persons under the age of 21. The Alcoholic Beverage Code is to promote the health and safety of the citizens of the state of Texas. It's to be liberally construed to accomplish that purpose. That's Section 103 and the title of the Alcoholic Beverage Code. There are many criminal statutes that have been interpreted to set a standard for civil liability. You have traffic laws. You have traffic laws were a great example. The court would not hesitate to impose liability on a person who runs a stop sign. Nobody argues about that. What's the difference? The Alcoholic Beverage Code sets the standard for conduct. Don't sell or furnish alcohol to minors.
What's the standard for make a label?
I got the dictionary definition in my brief. It says it's make it accessible or leave it in a place where it may be obtained. The Attorney General has also opined on that. Says that if makes it available, if the offender place said alcoholic beverage where it is accessible to the minor. That's a 1972 Attorney General opinion.
Well, how do you say that happened here if the young man brought his own?
He brought his own, but it was a group effort to get all the beer into the coolers and the refrigerator. Tyler Reeder was a part of that. It was his house. He planned the party.
What if there were just coolers out at the field?
Well, this was a residence, Your Honor.
I know, but I'm trying to get some understanding of what your position is on make available.
If my position is, if you own a house or if you're in control of the house or you're a resident of a home and you have control over the premises and there's alcoholic beverages there, you know they're there. You had some part in getting them there.
Well, what if you had no part? You just your part was to unlock the door.
You mean like a cocaine party or something like that?
Well, no, I mean, all you know is that people came in and they were carrying beer. You didn't ask them to do it. You didn't buy it yourself. They brought their own coolers. I'm just trying to get somebody understanding where you draw the line to make available.
Well, I think if it's at your house, you're making it available.
So you
know it's there.
It's strict liability.
Pardon?
You're saying strict liability.
Yes, ma'am.
They don't even have to be at the house. As long as the alcohol's at the house, that's making it available.
Well, now the parents in this case were not at the house, and they were found not to be making it available, and that's been upheld, and I'm not complaining about that.
If I invite a colleague over for dinner and they have a flask with some under 18-year-old drinks, then made available.
You're not making it available if you don't know about it. If the 18-year-old...
I see the flask.
I think you're probably under a duty to do something about it if the 18-year-old or 17-year-old is carrying it back around in his hip pocket and is at your house all night. I think a TABC officer would be pretty aggressive to, you know, cite you for furnishing to a minor.
So if I have a party where I'm serving alcohol and there's anybody under 18 in the house, I've got to be rather vigilant.
Yes, sir.
Like a wedding party or something like that.
Yes, sir, and I believe that's the way it should be. I think teenage drinking is a problem, and we can't impose some civil sanctions on people. You know, the criminal sanctions probably aren't enough. People need to take responsibility for furnishing alcohol to minors, especially under the age of 18.
We have, from time to time, not imposed or not exercised our authority under the common law to create a cause of action, even though there's a criminal statute involved. Why should we exercise our authority to create a common law cause of action based on this criminal statute?
The purpose of the Alcoholic Beverage Code is to, you know, protect the safety of the people and to control the use of alcoholic beverages. They're specific as to the problems with minors drinking. I mean, the legislature has spoken to that. I believe because minors are not experienced enough, they haven't been around people drinking enough to know the effects of it. They certainly, or, you know, shouldn't have experienced the effects themselves. They are less capable of handling the alcohol.
Aren't we kind of boxed in by Smith versus Merritt? We specifically rejected using the criminal statute to create negligence per se, at least for 18-year-olds to 21-year-olds, even though the statute clearly says it's criminal. And we said, no, we're not going to adopt that as a standard. Aren't we bound by that?
Well, the facts of that case are different because you had a
person. But how can we say a statute is negligence per se? For some and not for others.
I think in Smith v. Merritt, the reasoning was that a person who is 18 years old is an adult.
That was not in the negligence per se section. That was in a different section of the opinion. In the section of the opinion that dealt with the 106, we specifically said we will not use that as a standard for negligence per se. Now, how do we get around that?
I think that opinion also says this does not apply to service of alcohol.
But logically, how do we say, well, we're going to draw a line here?
I think my opinion is the bright line was drawn at 21, and it was negligence per se. You know,
so Smith v. Merritt's wrong, you're saying?
Well, I think the logic for Smith v. Merritt was that, you know, when you're 18, you're an adult, and, you know, we all know that 18-year-olds are going to, we can't control what they do. You know, they can vote, they can go into service, they can marry. So, you know, we look to them, and the injured party has, you know, a way to go, you know, remedy by looking at the person who's an adult, the 18-year-old. In this case, the 17-year-old, they don't. They may have a, they don't have as good a remedy, I don't believe.
So we look at it simply from an asset standpoint?
I think it's a policy standpoint. If we don't stay with the, this court doesn't draw the line at 18, there's no safety net underneath that. We go down to 14, 12. I think the line's been drawn at 18, and everybody understands that. But below 18, I believe there should be a cause of action. Was that?
I was just asking you what your answer was. Is it the merit right or wrong?
Of course it was right. The making of a negligence cause of action for serving minors under 18 would certainly serve the people of the state of Texas. It would place responsibility, you know, for damages that these people cause or may cause in a place where it would deter that behavior in the future. I think that's the...
Mr. Reynolds, you cited to a dictionary definition of making available. This is a criminal statute. Do you have any authority from the courts of appeals or our sister court defining makes available for the purpose of criminal prosecution?
No, sir. Just the Attorney General opinion. That was my other authority.
And again, the AG opinion said...
It said that a person to make alcohol available to an offender, an offender must have, quote, placed said alcoholic beverage where it is accessible to the minor. Attorney General opinion.
So putting a couple of cases of beer into one's refrigerator would be placing it where it's accessible to a minor.
I believe in reading that together with the instruction that the alcoholic beverage code be liberally construed to protect the safety of the people. Yes. I and my client believe there's always been a cause of action, a common law cause of action for furnishing alcohol to anybody. This court in Graff, you know, carved out furnishing to an adult over the age of 21. They went further in Smith v. Merritt by saying there's no cause of action for furnishing to a minor 18 years and older. I think now is the time that, and both those courts specifically said this does not apply to furnishing alcohol to a minor. Graff said that specifically. Smith said that it does not apply to furnishing alcohol to a minor under the age of 18. This case, however, you have a minor who was furnished or made available an alcoholic beverage. He caused injury to my client. The Beaumont court has held that, you know, as a matter of law, the unexcused violation of the Section 106 of the Alcoholic Beverage Code gives rise to an action in negligence. And I believe this court should uphold that and find that and set the policy for the state.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Mr. Jonathan Allen will present the rebuttal for the petitioner.
May it please the court, my name is Jonathan Allen, and listening to the arguments for the court today, it's obvious that the use of alcohol is a social issue, an issue that should not be legislated by this court. With respect to social host liability, if that is to be recognized by the state of Texas, that liability should be enacted by our state's legislature.
Should we ever apply the concept of negligence per se, or should we never apply negligence per se?
If I understand your question correctly, Your Honor, negligence per se is a viable concept to apply, but as
should we abandon the concept of negligence per se?
No, Your Honor, we should not.
And don't you think the legislature has established a policy against providing alcohol to persons under the age of 18 in the criminal code.
Yes, Your Honor, they have.
Being that that policy decision has already been made, either we apply negligence per se or we don't.
Your Honor, the policy decision that has been made by the Texas legislature is to make it a criminal violation to serve a minor. A minor is defined as a person under the age of 21 under the statute. That policy should not be extended into the civil liability sphere for two principal reasons. First, and it's one that has been addressed by Justice Enoch briefly with respect to common law liability in the state of Texas, there is no special legal relationship between Tyler Reeder and his high school classmate, Jeff Lawson, sufficient to create a duty or a right to control. That's one reason that this court should not recognize social host liability. That right to control issue also is something that should be examined by the court when looking at whether to adopt a negligence per se concept in this field. The right to control is still not there between two high school classmates. Mr. Reynolds has, in his brief, addressed the issues that minors are irresponsible with respect to understanding
The criminal statute doesn't deal with the concept of right to control. All it deals with is whether or not you purchase it or make it available. And it has nothing to do with regard to controlling the other person's consumption of alcohol. It has to do with before you even get to the stage of whether or not they consume it. So I don't even see how right to control has any bearing upon this case at all.
Your Honor, I do understand your concern with respect to this issue. But as Justice O'Neill pointed out, basically if the court were to adopt a negligence per se concept with respect to social host liability, it would in effect be strict liability, a cause of action that is not even recognized against commercial providers of alcohol. You would have social...
It might not be strict liability. You still have to have provided, and if you accept the AG's definition that you place it where it can be accessible to minors, and then there's... a minor takes access to it, and they can be prosecuted criminally and punished for that. Why shouldn't the victim of the crime, the person who gets injured, not have an ability to recover the damages for the crime?
Justice Enoch, you earlier brought up a good point with respect to this issue. In examining the case law as it has developed in Texas, we've always looked at not only a special relationship, but more of an affirmative act that creates some sort of duty. You brought up earlier that merely at my own home placing beer in the refrigerator and a child happens to come over to my house, grabs the alcohol, consumes it, and for some reason injures himself or someone else, then I would be responsible. And I don't think that the court should legislate those type of issues. That is something that the legislature should legislate. And the legislature may, in fact, at some point in time, create social host liability. But they have not done so today, and they should not, and this court should not do so.
But we do no violence to that concept. If we define making available being a host of a party, knowing that alcohol will be brought to the party, knowing that they're providing a place for the alcohol to be stored until it's time for it to be used, We could define making available pretty narrowly or pretty strictly under the facts of this case and conclude that the victim of a drunk from this party ought to be able to recover their damages for having suffered as a result of someone having a party where alcohol is made available to a minor. And we don't do any violence to your notion that parents who have alcohol in their home with no intention of making it available to minors would not certainly run any fear of being found liable just because a minor slips into the house and gets it out of the refrigerator.
You're correct, Your Honor, that this court is free to define the parameters of what makes available or furnishing alcohol is. You brought up an important point that the individual, Mr. Andrew Daniel in this case, was compensated for his injuries. He should look to Jeff Lawson, the individual who struck him intentionally, to recover his compensation, not to a third party, Tyler Reeder, who merely had a party at his house. And that brings up another interesting issue, and one that may address some of your concerns with respect to the negligence per se argument. As the Supreme Court examined in the Nixon case, it doesn't stop at the negligence per se concept. You go one step further and look at foreseeability. The Ninth Court of Appeals in this case said on page 10 and page 11 of its own opinion that there is no way that anybody, including Tyler Reeder, could have anticipated that Jeff Lawson would intentionally assault the plaintiff in this case.
Looking back at whether or not we should establish a negligence per se cause of action, it's clear that the legislature has said that it's against the law. We don't want anybody to provide alcohol to somebody under the age of 18. Do you agree with that?
Yes.
Realistically, it's going to be virtually impossible to police that. That's something that you're not going to have policemen going from home to home to ensure that people are not providing alcohol to people under the age of 18. You'll concede that.
It's difficult to police, yes, Your Honor.
So doesn't it seem that the only way to implement any form of enforcement of this would be to create a negligence per se cause of action?
I see that my time has expired. May I answer your question?
Yes.
Simply, the legislature, and I misspoke, has made a determination that minors, persons under the age of 21, should not be served alcohol. The legislature has not made a policy decision that you should hold those third parties civilly responsible. When they did, in enactment of the Dram Shop Act, look at commercial providers and has specifically legislated that they are responsible for serving or selling alcohol to individuals over the age of 18, as well as responsibility for serving those under the age of 18. The overall point that the petitioner makes in this case is that this is a social issue and one that should be regulated and legislated by our state legislature and not by the courts, because it is a difficult standard for this court to apply in situations such as these.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. That concludes the second argument. We'll take another brief recess.
All rise.